All right, let's take our Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. This has been some rough preaching. Amen, brother, amen. I've been wrestling with this message for 3 weeks, and I'm glad I'm preaching. Sometimes preparation and preaching is like passing a kidney stone. And that's the way the preparation has been. I'm praying the preaching isn't like that, but it really just fits with what Joel has preached and what our brother has lived. Listen, when I got saved in 1986, love was off limits, man. Lovey-dovey, foofy-foofy, touchy-touchy. Really? He hates the workers of iniquity. He's angry at the wicked every day. And he is. But brother, there's a whole lot in this book. Hebrews chapter 4, along those lines. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest, and excuse my coughing. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall through the same example of unbelief. Father, I pray you'd bless your word in these next few minutes. And Lord, I pray it just fit into this, what we've been hearing tonight. And you're certainly with us. And we praise you for that. Lord, it sure is easy to love you. But you said to love others like we love ourselves. Help us tonight with this. In Jesus' name, amen. If we open this passage for a doctrinal discussion, there might be war and blood before it's over. Laboring to enter into his rest and falling after the same example of unbelief. And as much as I'd love to open that up and see Adam sweat, I love him too much. But God gave me a thought from this text. And so my prayer is tonight that no matter where you are, maybe you're here, you're not saved. Maybe some of you young men, maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're married with a few kids and you're just trying to serve God. Maybe you're contemplating, maybe God's tugging on your heart with a call in your life. Maybe you've answered a call in your life. And of course, the preacher talked about the card that you're going to, you that are members of this church, and face and contemplate and give in this faith promise. But this is a curious passage of scripture here, and it's, look at the contrast. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. That's a weird contrast to me. He says you need to labor yourself out of unbelief. You need to work yourself out of unbelief. And it's interesting because 13 times in the New Testament, faith is contrasted with work. Faith is contrasted with labor. Salvation doesn't come by faith plus works. It comes by faith plus nothing. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us. And by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Yet he says, labor to believe so you can enter into his rest. And I just want to give you my thought. Faith is not works. But more times than not, especially with what we just heard, faith is work. Let me give you the 1828 beautiful definition. Intellectual exertion of labor. Application of the mind which occasions weariness and travail. To exert one's powers of body or mind. To strive, to take pains, to be in distress, to be pressed. I can labor to believe and not move a muscle or do any religious exercise. Faith is not works, but most of the time faith is work. I'm laboring in my mind, in my heart, in my will to believe God enough to take the next step with what He has for me in my life, and I haven't moved a muscle or kept any one of the 613 Old Testament laws. Faith is not works, but faith is work. There are men in this room whose employment will never cross them with a shovel or a tile cutter or a concrete mixer. They don't sweat ever, like, say, Adam. But don't tell him he doesn't work. See, it's not all physical. And that's what I believe the labor that we're talking about here is not the external, it's the internal, working to believe what God has said. Faith is not works. But a lot of times faith is work. Let's talk about saving faith. Saving faith. We know it's not by works of righteousness. Please don't confuse me. But I remember being in the Salvation Valley of Decision. And I fully understood the man that brought me to Christ. It was not works. All I needed to do was believe. And I'm going to tell you what. It wasn't easy believism for me because it was not easy for me to believe. You talk about fulfilling the definition of laboring as I agonized for 2 or 3 months, not out here getting baptized and witnessing to people and trying to earn my way to heaven, in here laboring. When I came up, and where I came up, and how I came up, you were Italian, you were Roman Catholic, and you ate pasta and sauce on Sundays. Frankie, did you see we went to that church, Joey's wedding? They didn't even have no statues in that church. Their priest was married. This ain't no church. And then along, and here's, you know, the cool fool Catholic skipping school and working at Eastman Kodak, and there's old skinny, bald Jay Folk. Not Focolano. Folk. It's like, wouldn't you change your name? And he tells me, this is truth. And he didn't have to rail on what I believed. The fact that he shined the light was clear to me what I was believing was wrong. And for 2 months, I labored. I knew what it was going to cost me. and the world and the flesh and the devil were warring with me and fighting with me, and the tide was against me. I wasn't trying to do good works to get to heaven, but faith was work. And then eventually I was saved by grace through faith plus nothing, and then the rest came. We see it in our kids all the time. You know, when they're little, like these guys over here, then they get to these guys over here. These guys over here, hey man, Jesus wants you to stand on your head and spit chocolate jelly beans. Hey man, free jelly, let's run. Then they get a little bit older, and they get kind of too cool for Jesus, you know. They want to believe it, but they got to labor to believe it. And we need to pray them through. Faith is not works, but in most cases, faith is work. The Bible says that those Pharisees and such had great reasoning among themselves. And some believed, and others mocked, and some said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." And they're working through it. And if you're in the salvation boat, in the valley of decision, you need to understand it's not by works, but faith is work. And it's okay to say, man, I'm struggling, I'm wrestling, because all the world and your flesh and the devil is against you. But you got to keep going through. Don't be surprised. Seem like everybody believes it's so easy but me. Faith is work. And then you get saved and you enter into that salvation rest. And then the next faith project starts. From faith to faith. Sanctifying faith. Unfeigned faith. Continue in the faith. There's about six of them in there. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Sounds like work to me. Work, not works. Work to believe what God has said for the next step in my journey. So we pray, Lord, increase our faith. Increase my faith. Didn't I get it all at salvation? Yeah, saving faith. Lord, I believe in wherever you're at. Fill in your blank. I believe you're calling me. I believe you'll take care of me, but help my unbelief. You know what Jesus said to Peter? He said, "Peter, who am I?" He said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "You know, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you." And then a little while, he said, "Peter, on that confession, I am going to build my church." Good boy, Peter. Good job, Peter. Thanks, Lord. And then a little while later, he says, "Peter, Satan wants to sift you. I've prayed for thee, listen, that thy faith fail not." And your eyesight can fail, and your hearing can fail, and your kidneys can fail, and your faith can fail. Now thank God, if we believe not when it comes to salvation, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. But there's 500 people that used to be in this building tonight that are out there because faith is work. Your message was it. I said, "This is it. I don't like what he's saying." Man, we were taught that
lovey-dovey, charismatic, kissy-kissy, smoochy-smoochy. We're Baptist. We preach on the street. We hate you as soon as look at you. Amen. You don't want to listen to my preaching, I'll knock you out. Amen.
Oh, the kids, they're all lovey-dovey. They got 2,000 people because they love people.
Can I just say along them lines? Was Jesus Christ effeminate? He's a man. And did you hear what he said? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. God is love. Okay, I'm not going to re-preach that message, but I'm what I'm going to tell you. But if you're going to believe that, it's going to be work. Man, what I came up, we sized you up, man. It ain't natural for me to love you. I got enough time loving my wife and kids, let alone strangers. Okay, let me show you how faith has worked. I want to see, who's been married? Anyone 50 years or more? 50 years or more? 40 years or more, 40 years. Okay, oh, a whole lot of them. Okay, watch this. Proverbs 18:22. I'm going to show you how faith has worked. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Now, have you guys have been married for 20 and 25 and 30 and 40? Has there ever, just once in a while, been a day where it was work to believe that she was a good thing? Oh, preacher, she's the one for me. A prudent wife is from the Lord, and he's in your office 5 years later wondering if she's prudent or from the Lord. He thinks she's from the devil. She's from the Lord. She's from the Lord. She's from the Lord. She's from the Lord. I know y'all got great marriages because you can laugh, but some of y'all ain't laughing. Psalm 127. I'm telling you, faith is work. And we live in the entitlement generation that doesn't want to work. And I'm not talking about beating the streets and preaching on the street and knocking on doors and running and going. I'm talking about maybe not moving a muscle. In laboring to believe what God said. Psalm 127. Verse 3. Lo, isn't that nice? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Have you ever had a toil in your heart to believe that some days? There's been days I wondered if they weren't a punishment. Oh, not you ones that are here, of course. Teenagers. Oh, they're just a reward, honey. We got anyone courting, any courting couples that I can embarrass? No? Where are they at? Okay. I know you got standards of holiness here, and you guys do it all right here with your courting or whatever you want to call it. And these young courting couples, especially these guys, they believe the verse that says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. But I bet they don't always. I mean, I bet it's hard to believe sometimes. No, I know it's not good. No way, man. No. I mean, the Bible says it. I believe it. No problem. I wonder if they don't think from time to time, I bet that would be kind of good. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Lord. This is kind of a scary one. Be sure your sin will find you out. Come on, you know a lot of time you think you get away with it. You know why? It takes work to believe that. Because he's not killing us every time we do something wrong. Luke chapter 6, this is missions conference, right? I'm talking about faith is work, and you better face the fact. You know this verse. Give, missions conference time, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Doesn't this sound so poetic? Pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Man, you give to God. We hear it all the time from the preacher, read it in the Bible. The windows of heaven are going to open. I'm going to have so much, there's not going to be room enough to receive it. If I give sparingly, I'm going to reap sparingly. But if I give bountifully, I'm just going to reap bountifully. And then why am I broke? Right? I'm looking for this man supposed to be rolling something into my bosom. Shall men give into your bosom? I know he keeps his promises. I know I can't give, I'll give him. I know he loves a cheerful giver. But my present circumstances seem to be saying baloney. And you know what? A whole lot are dropping out, brother. We don't believe faith is works, but a whole lot are sidelined today, and maybe some of you thinking about sitting on the sidelines. Maybe you'd be sitting on the sidelines in this missions offering and program and all that goes on, because faith is just too much work. You know what Satan wants to shake? He wants to shake your faith. Because if he gets your faith, he gets you. Now, if you're saved, you're not going to get your soul. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithfully, cannot deny himself. But if he gets your body, he'll get your life and get your impact. Some of you in the valley of decision about a call in your life. And you know what you're doing? I know what you're doing. You're laboring. You know how I know? Because I didn't just labor within to enter into the salvation rest. I labored, we call it surrender. God, Adam, listen. I'm an Italian from New York. I grew up in 14624. One town next is 14612. We're going to get married. We're going to move 11 miles, 14612. You're moving all day away? Why are you going out there? We got to take a ride to get there. And you think I'm going to go to Tanzania? And I remember crawling to that altar, Adam. Say, God, I can't leave the zip code. I But don't give up on me. Don't give up on me, please. Man, I want to believe. I want to believe you'll take care of me. I want to believe my mom and dad won't write me out of the will if I go to Tanzania. I want to believe. Just keep bringing me along. And you know what he will? He will. I'll never forget the morning. I read the passage that says, "Thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech." 4:40 a.m. it was. I'll never forget it. "Thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of an hard language, but unto the children of thy people. Go get to them of the captivity and say, Thus saith the Lord." Whether they were, I remember waking my wife up. "We're not going to Tanzania." You know what I've seen a lot? I've been very tempted in my own life. Is when people's children are little, preach it hard, preacher. Give it to them, preacher. Let them have it, preacher. And then all of a sudden they get up into that age of the valley of decision, and they ain't as thrilled about your religion as you are. And you know what you're going to find, and I say it in fear and trembling, that if you have to choose between your rebels and God, you know what you're going to find out? Faith is work. Lord, help us. You're going to look at that card coming up this week.
Look, we wouldn't have to have 25 sermons if it was so easy. We're trying to preach the devil out of you to get another 5 cents a week.
You know why? Hey, you know the verses, given and shall be given unto, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, rolling over, shall men give into your bosom. There will not be room enough. You know it all. Then how come we got to keep preaching? Because faith is work. And here and in here, and everything wars against us. But after the labor, then comes the rest. You know, you look back at the mountains you've climbed, at the hurdles you've jumped over, and you say, "Man, God, I'm so glad." And you look at someone else trying to jump that hurdle that you've already jumped, and now you're resting in that. Maybe it's tithing. Maybe it's scriptural baptism. Whatever it is. Maybe it's witnessing to somebody publicly. And you look at that man. It's nothing for you, but for them, it's everything. Faith is work. Trouble is, God don't ever stop the work. When you get to this, He wants to go this faith to faith. And here's the question: we always ought to know, Lord, what are you wanting from me now? And then comes the rest. Not kicking back, that's heaven. But like a holy invincibility. Just a confidence that everything, God is driving my plane. 3 tools to help us labor in faith. And there's 100 of them. But God gives us some tools to help us in our labor to believe. I mean, if you got to dig a hole, let's say you got to, we got basements up north. You have to go down 52 inches now to get below the frost line, or the pipes will freeze. So we say we go 52 inches. You might as well go another 3 feet. You have a whole nother house down there, right? So that's what we do. You can dig that hole with a backhoe. You can dig it with a shovel. You can dig it with a feather. You can dig it with your hand. Or you can dig it with a keg of dynamite. The idea is, God has given us tools. And you know, we're living in a Christian day now that it's always some new program, some newfangled catch-all. I'm going to give you three boring bedrock points that'll help you in your faith. Number one, help from the printed word. That's all. I bet you most know the passage. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. I bet you less know the address. And I bet you less know the context. Go to Hebrews chapter 4.
Interesting.
You remember the last verse that I read, what I'm preaching on? Verse 11, Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest.
Labor to enter into rest?
Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God. That's the context. That's not a standalone verse on the King James Bible. It's the context that the word of God is the starting place and the continuing place and the advancing place of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and it still doesn't come by a rock and roll band. It comes by the word of God. And we got too many distractions. I know you hear it all the time. It's because you're too distracted. You need to hear it. I'm not going to sit here and hammer cell phones. I have a smartphone. It saves time. It's a tool. I understand that. But I got to thinking, Adam, when I got saved, there wasn't even answering machines. You realize how... I understand there's an app that keeps track of when you're calling on the phone, texting on the phone, apping on the phone, Googling, searching, whatever you're doing. All that time. We don't have time to love nobody. I can't visit. All that time, all these apps, all these distractions, when we need to get back to the basics more than ever before, and we wonder why we are weak in the faith and we are petrified to trust God because we're not getting enough of this. Satan, it's too much work to read the Bible. It's too much work not to. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know what you got to do? Sometimes you got to labor in this world. You got to get up when you don't want to be up. Oh, I know this is very simple. You got to get up when you don't want to be up. When everybody else wants to party all night, maybe you need to go and party with God. Amen? Satan will, I'm sorry that it's so basic, but Satan will war with your quiet time. And you need to take it back if he's taken it from you. See, we didn't have this immediate distraction before. First thing, I got to check. Who called me? Who texted me? Who Instagrammed me? Who Pinterested me? Who this? Who that? How about who God? He wants to sift your faith. And you better get in it if you ain't in it. And you better stay in it if you are in it, so you can believe. When you read, it helps you to believe that she's a good thing. That they are a reward. They are a reward. They are a reward. The world's not going to help you believe. Oh, the flesh is certainly not going to help you believe. And we know where the devil stands. Whatever your next step of faith that God wants you to take, salvation, sanctification, a call, a surrender, more giving. Listen, this is where your bedrock lays. The printed word. Number two, the preached word. We need preaching more than ever before. We don't need sermonettes by preacherettes that smoke cigarettes. And we don't need stools, and we don't need wrist bracelets, and we don't need water bottles. We need preaching! Man, when I got saved, if some of these guys with the skinny jeans preached like they do, we would have beat them up, man. And I just want to testify on this point. I was in some dark, dark hours in my life. Adam knows I was ready to tap out. I used to hear guys preaching, man, older guys when I was young here. I was ready to quit. What's wrong with this guy? You're going to quit. What do you mean quit? Yeah, it's easy to say when you ain't been through nothing. There was a season in my life I was laboring to believe the verse that said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. And I knew what this said, and I read it over and over, and I named it, and I claimed it, but everything in my circumstances was saying, baloney. It's a fraud. It doesn't work. And you've lost your leverage. And you've lost your power, and you've lost your advantage. And then the man that led me to Christ, who was my partner in the ministry, preached. Now, usually the messages that have the greatest impact really are usually from strangers or guys that, you know, you're at a special meeting or something, but this is my best friend in the world, man. And he preached. I pray outside, and on about a 6-mile walk through the woods and the park and that. And for about 7 days, I didn't pray. You know why? Because it was too much work. And I'm just being straight with you. Cast me out if you want. It seemed like a waste of time. I've been crying. I've been pleading. I've been fasting. I've been praying. And it's only getting worse. And my partner preached. He preached on Arturo Gatti. And he preached on fighting the fight of faith. And he said this Gatti, he fought Ward. And the ironic thing was, Gatti lost the fight. But when they talk about the Ward-Gatti fight, they talk about Gatti. And here's what my partner kept saying, Adam, in that sermon. He said, it's not always about winning. It's about fighting. It's about laboring. It's about working, regardless of what my eyes can see. Man, that next morning I got out in that park. I said, I'm back, Lord, I'm back. You know, we get in trouble. We say sin keeps us from the book and the book keeps us from sin. Preaching keeps us from sin and sin keeps us from preaching. And listen, if you're dabbling or you're contemplating, and you preached a message, man. I wasn't close to sin, but I was contemplating. I wonder what that would be like. And man, you preach a message one time. I said, thank you. Don't run away from God when you're contemplating sin. Run to Him. We need preaching, preaching, preaching. Save my life, man. The printed word, the preached word is my tool. It's my backhoe to dig the hole. And then lastly, Colossians chapter 4. Faith is work. I sat with a new Christian the other day. This is just extra. I don't know if I'm onto something here or what. And I kind of feel like a wuss telling it, but I was sitting with a young Christian, and man, they were complaining. This person's not this, and that person's not that, and they were. And I thought that this church and all that. And you know what I saw when I was listening to this person? And my pastor used to tell me, he said, "You'll soften." No, I won't. And I'm just wondering, I'm going to write a book maybe. I'm wondering, this is just a week old. You get saved, especially if you got saved out of the world. You are so thankful. You are so grateful. You are excited. Everybody's like Jesus. Oh, these wonderful people. I'm going to go running around whores and whoremongers and dope dealers. And look at these wonderful, clean people. Gratefulness. And then all of a sudden you start to find out, this ain't a honeymoon after all. We've had believers treat us worse than our lost friends did. But then the next step is you start getting judgmental. They do that. They do that. They do this. I don't do that. And then about the time you take some bumps and bruises yourself, you know how you end up? Lord, it's just, I'm just going to go for you. Colossians chapter 4, real basic today. Colossians chapter 4, curious verse, verse 13. 4:13. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them, Colossians 4, I'm looking for a verse that says, laboring for you in prayers, is it? 12. Colossians 4, thank you. 12. Epaphras, there it is. Who is one of you. Oh, isn't that beautiful? A servant of Christ saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayer. Isn't that odd? If I told you, our church is a laboring church, prayer would not be in the first thing that comes into your mind. You'd think soul winning, you'd think giving, you'd think going, you'd think building, you'd think working. But that said, laboring. If prayer wasn't so much labor, we'd do more of it. You'd almost rather run a marathon sometimes. Let me move, man. I'm sitting here talking to somebody I can't see. Ain't nobody around. I can't impress nobody. It's just me and invisible. Faith is work. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. And you know what prayer is? It's labor. Labor. Frankly, it's easier to soul win and preach on the street for me. Way easier. Preach for an hour on the street, preach soul win, personal work. Pray for an hour, pray for two. And I'm talking about praying now. I'm not talking about thinking about the game, answering 14 texts, talking to Adam on the phone. And, oh, Lord, we're out of time, Lord. I'm just about home. See you later. Call unto me. And I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Then how come I can't see them? Because faith is work. The world is swirling the drain. Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. And if we're going to get the job done with a faith that pleases God, and wherever you're at, maybe some of you young men, maybe you're not saved and you know it. Maybe a darkness has come over you and you just wanting to believe. Listen, labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest you fall through the same example of unbelief. And that goes for you that are answering a call, you that are thinking about upping your giving, you that are thinking about starting to giving, you that are thinking about loving people. You think you're going to just take that message? Oh, yeah, I'm going to just love people. I hate people all my life, and just overnight, oh, yeah, I'm going to love people. You're going to look at that faith promise card. Some of you haven't even looked at it yet, and you're laboring already. And that's okay. And that's okay. When you give in, that's when the rest comes. That's the idea, as we grow and we grow and we grow, and one day we get promoted to the big rest place in the sky. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Maybe you're not saved here today. Maybe you're wrestling with a call today. Lord, I believe.